All right, good, good, good. All right, so let's get to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 tonight. So we started this 2 weeks ago. Last week we had Vacation Bible School, had a wonderful time. Thank you for those of you that came last week. And I'm trying to think, I just my couple of kids here. Oh, Carly's here too, Megan, yes. Thanks for coming last week and be a part of VBS. That was fun. I will miss not having a full week of VBS this year, but glad we could do that one. That was great. So we're back in the series on one another, comfort one another. And we'd seen in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 18, that biblical, I'm filling in your blank real quick here, biblical knowledge is the key to providing words of comfort. All right, we talked about the bookends of verses 13 and 18 in that paragraph. And in between that comfort that Paul strives to give to the Thessalonians are the facts of the rapture, of the return, the real facts. And that truth brings comfort to the believer. When I go to comfort someone else, what should I do? As we see in that next area, true comfort deals in facts, not fear. Don't, if you're trying to comfort someone, don't try to put a salve on the fear. You need to give them some foundation, and that's called facts, truth. Sometimes that's hard. But if I'm going to comfort someone and provide comfort that's right and good and lasting, I must tell them the facts. Since we've been talking about death, I think sometimes as a pastor, there are times where I must really go to a person, the mate or whatever, and say, all right, from our human perspective, death is soon. You may not want to hear those words, but I want to help you. And now let's talk about what your mate is going to do as they walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I don't know, and then, I mean, it's not been gazillion times, thankfully, but I have on more than one occasion, numerous occasions, asked for, in the presence of the family, as their father, their mother, their husband, and so forth, Lord, would you give, first of all, this person dying, would you give them grace to walk through this? I don't know if they hear me or not, but I want them to know that the Lord is there. The Lord is going to walk through that valley of the shadow of death with them. But then I ask that God would give grace to the family too. If I would come in and say, oh, it's going to be okay, he's going to be all right, that's a lie. And that does not provide comfort. Do you understand? The facts are, the reality is, this brother or this sister is going to go to heaven shortly. Now let's deal with the truth. And what's the truth? God is the God of all comfort. So when we deal with comfort, we must deal with truth. Truth is always the best to bring comfort. You deal with someone in their sin. All right, let's move away from sorrow. Let's go to a sinful. Someone struggling with a bad sinful habit in their life. They need to know the truth that they are in rebellion against God and that their sin breaks the heart of God and ruins their relationship with their Heavenly Father. Now, those are hard facts, aren't they? But until I realize that my sin is an eternal offense to God, I'm not going to change because I have this tendency in my flesh to do sinful things. It's a part of who I am, unfortunately. Now, thank the Lord, I've been redeemed and I have the Spirit of God that lives within me who brings conviction. But I must know that my sin, even as a believer, is repulsive to God. I deserve chastening for every one of my sins, and that God in his mercy and grace does not chasten me all the time is a wonderful act of our great God. But it should never be that that gives me an excuse to sin again. What? Should I sin that grace abound? God forbid, Paul said. So, and I'm helping someone overcome sin. One of the first critical steps is to deal with reality. Let's deal with the reality of the sin. This sin is destroying you. Must I bring you to the bedside of someone who's ruined their life because of their sin and watch them die? That's not a pretty picture. But I need to help them understand some of those facts so that they will turn from their sin. Speak to them about biblical truth, all right? Whatever the form of comfort is. All right, now, number two, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11 is another side of comfort that's critical as well. Give them the facts, but let's fill in the blank here real quick. Biblical hope, there's your blank. So, and whenever providing comfort to anyone, no matter sorrow, sin, whatever the challenge is, you need to give them truth, but you also need to give them hope. And that's what the Lord does. So biblical hope is the key to providing faith, and here's your blank, faith-building comfort. If I can use the illustration of a doctor or maybe a chiropractor, okay? Not good ones, but can I put it this way? Bad ones, all right? You know, if a doctor can keep you sick, guess what? That keeps paying him. Oh, you better, I need to come back in, all right? The chiropractor that seems to always, I still need to do another manipulation on you, all right? And 15 years later, you're still going back to the same chiropractor. How much money have you given him? Anyways, okay. So they can be helpful. Now, same thing. Now, understand where we're going here. If I'm going to be the biblical comforter that God wants me to be to my brother or sister in Christ, I must build them so that they can walk on their own. There can be, and this is something that that we don't often talk about, but I think sometimes necessary. People that are in biblical counseling, pastors and so forth, it can become aggrandizing, there's the word, and self-promoting to have these people come back and come back and come back. You become, essentially, their small m Messiah. And hey, it makes you feel good because you're helping this person and they look to you as their great mentor and their great leader and they couldn't live their life without all the help that you have. Now, not all of us fight that, but there are people that do. And that we have to be really careful when we're providing comfort that we're not simply providing comfort in you, the counselor. Any good comfort will help that person walk on their own. It may take some time, but they must be able to walk. And how you do that is you build their faith. And what is faith? Faith is knowing and trusting God's word. So when you have a problem, someone's having a problem, they come to you for help, comfort. That's why we have to start with the facts. But then I provide hope. Now listen, you start living according to these truths in your life, and guess what happens? God will change. God will bring comfort. God will encourage. And that's what Paul does here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. So the verse actually, verse 11, wherefore, here's the comfort the one another, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. So Paul has in verses 1 through 10 of 1 Thessalonians. Remember, we looked at the end of chapter 4 about the rapture. Now he deals in chapter 5, verses 1 through 10, with what we call the day of the Lord. I'm going to try to, for time's sake, simplify it real quick. We can have long discussion on the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord includes both judgment and glory. So the term can be a very much overarching term, eschatologically, dealing with future events. So we know that the day of the Lord includes God's judgment against sin and sinners. The day of the Lord includes, if I can put it straightforward, both the tribulation and the millennial kingdom. It's not just the millennial kingdom, and it's not just the tribulation. So Paul gives them instruction. He says in verses 1 and 2 of chapter 5, I've already told you, you know much about this already. Your knowledge is complete. All right, that's the word perfect he uses there in verses 1 and 2. And then he says, now let me help you. We're not of the people of this world that are in the dark. We are people of the light. And you have been given the knowledge of the Lord that enlightens your eyes and understanding what the future is. And so you don't have to fear that day. Be sober, because we know the day of the Lord is coming. And the day of the Lord does include judgment. Now, for the believer, we won't face the tribulation or the wrath of God against sin. We've been redeemed, right? That's a part of our salvation. From the fall of man, and when Adam and Eve were redeemed, all the way through the New Testament, through all the scriptures, a part of our wonderful redemption is that we will not face God's wrath as believers. Isn't that a joy? It doesn't just mean that I won't face God's wrath in hell. That's a part of it, and that's a great part of it. But it also means that I won't face wrath even in this life in the day of the Lord. One of the strong arguments for the rapture to happen the very next thing, before the tribulation, not in the middle of the tribulation, not after the tribulation, is this simple fact here, as recorded in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, that we will not face God's wrath. We've been redeemed from it. And the tribulation is 7 years of God's wrath on this world. Now, if you want to study about God's wrath, look at what it did to the nation of Israel that rebelled against him in the Old Testament. Then study the book of Revelation and look at what it will do even greater to this world during 7 years. And it says there that those days, if it weren't shortened, no one would be left. All right? God deals seriously with sin. But we don't have to worry about that. All right? We are not going to be here as redeemed believers. We're going to be raptured out, gone. We won't face the wrath. We will enjoy the glory part of the day of the Lord, the millennial kingdom. We'll be back for that. So with all of those facts, again, he says, therefore, we can comfort one another. Verse 10, who died for us, talking about Jesus Christ, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. The word wake or sleep, and if you remember from our study through the first and second Thessalonians, he's not talking about living and dying here. He's talking about being alert and ready for the Lord's return, or whether you become spiritually dull. The context in several verses up to verse 7, I believe it is, before that, gives us that clue about wake or sleep here. So often I know that there are times in Scripture where the word sleep refers to death. All right, it's a sweet word for the believer who sleeps in the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, it's a beautiful picture. But this is talking about, even if you are you're a believer and you're not really walking close to the Lord, we're going to live together with him. Your salvation is secure. That's what verse 10 is saying. There is nothing you can do to lose your salvation. Isn't that great? Oh, what joy. Because if there was, we'd all lose it. Guaranteed. Because we're all sinners, right? Okay, so that's the comfort. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together now. And then edify one another even as also you do. So notice here our notes, the second phrase, and then I'll be done. True comfort comes through constructive, the word is companionship. Constructive companionship. The word in verse 10 is comfort, and we talked about it last week. It's the same word that we get the Holy Spirit, the name of the Holy Spirit from, our comforter, our companion. It's someone who comes alongside. A part of the process of comforting any one of your brothers and sisters in Christ is that you would, like the Holy Spirit, become their companion, come alongside, help them walk through whatever it is that they need comfort about, and edify them. The word edify means to build up. There's a picture of building a house would be the word edify. So, yes, sometimes you make a mistake in building a house and you have to tear it out and start again, all right? But this is not a destructive process. Edification, sometimes we get a wrong idea that if I'm going to edify a brother, I have to destroy the sin in his life. No, that's not what it's talking about here. It's talking about constructing a spiritual structure that's sturdy so that believer can walk on his own. So your goal in any comfort is to provide the truth of God's word, the hope you won't face wrath. That's the hope that he gives here in this present context. All right, the hope so that the believer can walk on their own. They're edified, they're strong, they're built up so that they can continue to live life. Now, I look back on my own life, and I will tell you there have been numerous people along the way that God has used as a tool of comfort. They have comforted me. And they did their job well because it gave me truth that solidified my heart, and I was able to then to start walking life with the Lord again. Not needing them, if I can put it that way, as a crutch, but as a dear friend. But they did come, they came alongside. They were steadying me. Can I put it that way? They were my companion, bringing me along, helping me stand up. I don't have time for illustrations, but there's numerous thoughts that run through people, dad and mom being some of them, all right? Through hard times, all right, David, come on. they gave me truth, and I walked. And eventually they didn't have to hang on to me anymore because they had given me the right foundation, the truth, and give me the hope that you can walk through this life. Your life's going to be okay. So that's a part of comforting one another. We could spend months studying comfort one another and the whole process of companionship, but those are simple truths. Give them truth, the facts. Give them hope. Hope in Jesus Christ. The wonderful joy and love of the Lord Jesus. And they will walk again. Build them up so they can walk again. Okay. Well, I trust that we can edify one another. This is an individual work. In fact, the idea of edify each other here in the end of the verse is talking about one-on-one experiences. So there is proper role and right for teaching in a situation like this. But folks, we need to, if we're going to love one another here, come alongside each other and help each other through our problems. I'm glad as your pastor when I hear of those things happening here. Someone will maybe tell you, know, they were helping me, or the comforter will say, I had the opportunity to, you know, we were chatting, we helped them walk through this. It's like, praise God, that's what's supposed to happen. That keeps the body growing and helps each other follow the Lord. Okay, well, if you have some questions afterwards, I'll be happy to talk more about it. What a wonderful challenge. Let's comfort one another. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.